real reason I came to Holy Family today is because I knew that Father Johnson had the largest thurible in the archdiocese. And I wanted to use it in honor of the three kings who brought incense. This beautiful liturgy which we celebrate today is filled with the imagery of light. Light that shines in the midst of the darkness. First and foremost, the star, which we saw beautifully portrayed by one of our children. This beacon of hope and a promise for the wise men that leads them to the Lord. And the liturgy connects this with the wonderful prophecy of Isaiah about the Messiah in chapter 60, which we read in our first reading. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. It was hard for me as I read these words prayerfully not to think about the world we live in today. Darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the people. But upon you, the Lord shines. Isaiah speaking to the chosen people about the promise of a Savior, someone who will lead them out of darkness into the Lord's own wonderful light. Of course, we know this Savior. St. John speaks to him. He spoke to him on Christmas Day, spoke to us on Christmas Day about this Savior from his prologue when he says, what came to be through him was life, and the life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. On this feast of this Epiphany, we're invited to ponder in our hearts with deep gratitude, the gratitude that we owe everything for, on what it means that a Savior has been revealed to us. And then we're invited to take up our mission to reveal the Savior in the darkness of the world. Of course, as we sit here on January 3rd, 2021, it would not be an exaggeration, I think, to say that we're living through a dark age of the world, an age where the things which we hold most valuable, life, faith, family, goodness, beauty, truth, these things, which to us are the most valuable things in the world, are under attack. Many of them are mocked in our culture in which we live. And there's no indication that things are going to get better in the culture in which we live. Help is not going to come from the mighty of the world. Why? Because the world cannot fix itself. If the world was going to fix itself in the time of Jesus, help would have come from the Roman Emperor, from the center of the world. But rather, help came in a completely unexpected way. In a small town, in a small corner of the Roman Empire. And there was born a Savior. And only those who had eyes to see could see the light, could see that the Savior was going to be born. My favorite line from Christmas hymns is a line from O Holy Night, which so captures this truth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. You see, the appearance of the Savior changes our hearts and changes our lives and makes us realize what life is really about. This life, which is the light of the human race, this life, which is the only thing that can really fix the problems of our world. The problems of our world will not be fixed by politics. That's become quite clear. They won't be fixed by social justice movements. They won't be fixed by big business. They won't be fixed by scientists. Because the problems of the world have their origin in a wound in the human heart, a wound from sin. And only Jesus, who brings to us the life of God, brings to us the remedy for that wound. That life of God, His grace, which was born into the world, poured out upon the cross, and comes to us even today through this Eucharist. But as you and I know, the world is blind to this light. And so here you and I see the mission that we've been given. Christ is the light of the nations. Those are the first words of the document on the church from the Second Vatican Council, Lumen Gentium. Christ is the light of the nations. And it continues saying, this light is brightly visible on the countenance of the church. How will the world in which we live see the light of Christ? Well, they'll only see it if it's shining on your face. If you are radiating the light of Christ, if you show forth His truth, His goodness, His beauty in the way in which you live, which is so different from the way in which our world lives. You know, I often think about this today because it used to be that the most controversial witness in the church was the celibacy of her consecrated persons. Today it seems to me just as controversial to find a Catholic family, people who choose to get married in the church and are fully open to life. It's a radical witness in the midst of the darkness of this world. And in fact, that's our call, to let our light shine in the darkness by the way that we live. Of course, it's more difficult because the darkness presses in on every side. It's more difficult and therefore more important to live a deeply Christian life. You know, perhaps in our culture 50, 75 years ago, one could have simply fulfilled one's basic obligations as a Catholic and expected that one's children would grow up and practice the faith. You can't expect it anymore. Today, we must be people who deeply live the gospel. We must have lives of daily prayer. We must regularly practice the sacraments. We must speak openly about our witness of our faith and why we believe, especially to our children. We must teach a life of self-denial and sacrifice and self-gift. These are the ways that we ensure that we live in the light and will be a light for other people. You know, when you read about the history of the early church and you think about the days in which we live, many people see comparisons. That the time in which we're living today is a lot more like the time of the apostles than it was like the time of my grandparents or my great-grandparents, at least in the way the culture is against the faith. And it's interesting, of course, I'm going to vastly oversimplify something here, but it's interesting. There are basically three things that the earliest Christians were known for that witnessed to the culture of the early times of Christianity in the Roman Empire. Three things that ultimately transformed the culture. First, the Christian teaching on the sanctity of life, that every person had dignity, especially the weak and the most vulnerable. It was Christians who cared for the poor in the streets. The culture at the time thought it was their fate that they were poor or that they were handicapped. It was the Christians who cared especially for children and refused to expose their handicapped children to death. The culture thought they were less than human and not worthy. It was because we reverenced every human life that we caught the attention of the pagan culture. Second, the Christian teaching on chastity. Roman culture was extremely promiscuous, and as a result, the women of that culture were often degraded and abused, as happens in every promiscuous culture, including our own. And the Christian virtue of chastity spoke especially to the woman's heart of her dignity. And the Christian witness of women who were willing, like St. Agnes or St. Cecilia, to die rather than give up their chastity. This had a profound effect on the Roman world. And it led to the third way that we affected the world: martyrdom. Christians were ready to die rather than deny Jesus. And they believed that martyrdom was actually the fulfillment of their mission. It was this witness, the witness to the sanctity of life, the witness to chastity, the witness to martyrdom, that ultimately transformed the Roman world. And so that light, which shone over a small cave in Bethlehem, that light which lived in the world, healed and forgave and taught and ultimately died on a cross and was poured out through the Holy Spirit, that light filled the hearts of the apostles and the early disciples. And then it spread like a fire across the ancient world until it burned so hot that it engulfed even the leaders of the world, who could no longer resist it. And you and I know this light, and we're called to live in it deeply. We're called to let that light consume our lives so that it can shine through us. So through you and your friends and your family, you can be a witness to the darkness of this world that in fact the Savior has come, and they'll see him shining on your faces. See, darkness covers the earth and thick clouds covers the people, but upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance.